Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. One of the most destructive and worrisome phenomena to afflict American politics in recent years has been the viral spread of crazy lies and conspiracy theories about the honesty of our elections. Spurred on by former President Trump and a confused but noisy group of his supporters, an unfounded perception has arisen in many corners that American elections have somehow become dishonest and rigged by mysterious and nefarious forces. The truth, of course, is that this claim is simply false. In fact, American elections remain among the world's most honest and secure. And recently, in an effort to help spread this important truth, some prominent North Carolinians of varying political persuasions have formed a new bipartisan group called the North Carolina Network for Fair, Safe, and Secure Elections. And recently, I got a chance to have an extended conversation with the founders of the group, former Charlotte Mayor Jennifer Roberts and former State Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr. Jennifer Roberts, Bob Orr, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Yep, great to be here.
So this is a really exciting and sort of in these challenging times we inhabit, kind of an encouraging development that you all are spearheading. You call it the North Carolina Network for Fair, Safe, and Secure Elections. And you've got a tour going on across the state. We've already had a couple of these events take place in the past week. How did this thing get started?
Yeah, I got the phone call first from the Carter Center. And I think I got a call actually in 2020, even before November and before January 6th, because the Carter Center has decades of experience in looking at democracies around the world, in monitoring elections in some really challenging places. And they have expertise in helping to bolster democratic norms, to encourage, you know, a civil, peaceful transfer of power, to help some of these, you know, newer democracies understand that. Well, in 2020, when a lot of things became swirling with concerns about hacking the elections, about rigging and cheating, et cetera, they thought they would bring their expertise to the United States. And in doing that, they reached out to some of our community leaders, and somehow they found me, and said, "Would you be interested in helping?" And when they turned to North Carolina in the summer of 2021, one of the first things I told them is, okay, I'm a known Democrat. I'm on the left of the aisle. For this to work in a bipartisan manner that reaches everyone, we've got to find someone on the right to do this with me. And so I gave Bob a call, and I don't think it took too much convincing, but that's how this got started. It's really about supporting democracy, helping restore trust in our election system and in those basic democratic concepts of peaceful transfer of power, civil campaigns, accurate information, and accepting election results when all the votes are counted and everything is over.
A lot of things we took for granted for a long time. So how did you go about this? It's not just the two of you right here in North Carolina. Y'all have expanded this tent quite a bit.
Well, we have. Interestingly enough, the Carter Center didn't really have a game plan for exactly how this was supposed to move forward. And I should note that this is what you might call a pilot program in four states, Georgia, Arizona, parts of Florida, and North Carolina. And so, you know, we started out talking about sort of basic principles of elections and campaigns that we would reach out to candidates to get their support and endorsements for, that we would try to put together a bipartisan or cross-partisan network of individuals. And so probably for the first few months, that was where we were focused. And I would have to say, in reaching out to Republicans and people who used to be Republicans, I was surprised and encouraged by their willingness and interest in participating and in recognizing the reasons for doing this. They had and shared the same concerns that Jennifer's articulated. And then as we moved along, it was like, well, okay, what are we going to do to sort of really build up confidence and awareness of the people running our elections and how the system works? So we came up with this 14 congressional district tour, which was maybe overly ambitious. Thank goodness Jennifer is leading it, and we have a great consultant named David Capen who's involved. But it's received a good bit of attention so far. And, you know, like I said, we're just now kicking it off.
The other states, Arizona, Georgia, Florida, they've all had their
election dramas in recent decades, I suppose. North Carolina, we've had a lot of close elections, and I guess we've had some contentious debates at the local level. Jennifer, why did they call us? Why do you think North Carolina is one of the states?
Well, we like to think that we're more civil and friendly than a lot of places in the U.S., but they've been working on data collection. They're working with Princeton and some other data scientists and experts, and they look at things like, you know, number of protests, history of violence. Is your state a battleground state? Is there a hotly contested election? We have a couple of those, congressional, a U.S. Senate race, and we've had, you know, we've had our share of disruptions. If you remember NC9 back in 2018.
Yeah, that's
true. So they look at a number of factors. North Carolina ranked high, and clearly we have some important federal races. And that alone brings in outside interest and outside money. We're seeing that. We do have some hate groups in our state. We've seen some of that violence. And we are a pilot program to see, can messaging make a difference? Can voter education, which has been shown in polling at least, to make a difference? You know, so much of what goes on after you cast your ballot is kind of, you know, behind the curtain. You know, people don't really think about it except maybe once every 4 years for those who only vote in presidential elections. And so we're hoping that this voter education will help not just in 2022, but, you know, in 2023, 2024. We want people to not just take the system for granted, but to trust it and to know when they cast that ballot, it's going to count. And it's going to make a difference. It's all about getting people to participate in our democracy.
Let me just add, Rob, the fact that we've seen a number of pretty significant races decided by a relatively small number of votes. And Jennifer mentioned the federal races, but the Cooper-McCrory gubernatorial race was, as I recall, less than 10,000 votes out of, 5 million votes cast. We have two really important judicial races for the Supreme Court of North Carolina that is receiving a lot of attention both in state and nationally. The Chief Justice race in 2020, again with 5 million votes cast, was decided by less than 500 votes. And so I think, and we've started talking about this now, being prepared for election night, presenting some major races that are literally too close to call, which then opens up the potential for election deniers or people who don't trust the system, you know, creating problems and, you know, hopefully a very distant chance of violence. But we just think North Carolina is a poster child for getting ready for these kinds of things.
We're talking to Jennifer Roberts, who's the former Democratic mayor of Charlotte, and Bob Orr, former Republican state Supreme Court justice. I would think part of this process of helping our citizens grasp the reality of how our elections work would literally just be that, demystifying it a bit. I would wager that even a lot of people who are regular voters may not completely understand how the system works, how votes are counted, how the security is enforced. Is that part of this education effort that's going on?
Absolutely. Jennifer? You know, Bob and I have both been candidates. We've stood outside of polling locations, but, you know, a lot of people haven't. And there's, you know, there's some misinformation that, for example, voting machines are on the internet. Well, they're not. You know, there's just other information from other states that people are worried about. They don't know what role the Secretary of State plays, which is greater in other states than it is in North Carolina. And really, it is about demystifying the process. Also, remembering that when you go to your polling location on election day, the folks taking your information are your friends and neighbors. You know, when I go to vote in my precinct, like, I know everybody behind that desk, right? Because they live, you know, they live in my neighborhood. And that's what we want people to realize, is that the local nature of elections really helps to avoid fraud, to avoid, you know, people voting who shouldn't, you know, all these kinds of things. There are protections in place, and, you know, you can be sure of that ballot. So that's what, you know, we're trying to reinforce that.
Bob, what do you think is behind so much of this denialism? Is it merely Donald Trump? Is there something else about modern society? Is it the pandemic? I think a lot of us have tried to get our arms wrapped around why this mythology about fixed elections has sort of become so part of our discussion. And I take it, it's safe to say that it's having a very negative impact on poll workers, and people just say, I don't want to put my life at risk by being a poll worker or endure these kinds of harassment and threats?
Yeah, I think in North Carolina, they've had like over 40 election board directors retire, resign just in the last 2 years, which, you know, presents a problem. You know, while obviously a lot of the messaging about stolen elections is a result of Trump in the 2020 election, I do think all the technology mystifies people. Mm-hmm. I mean, candidly, you know, you mark your ballot and you put it in a machine. You know, in the old days, you put it in a box and Rob Schofield or somebody else, they were going to count it. You know, there were going to be a group of people, bipartisan people, counting the votes. You know, now it's all of this technology. You know, you get calls about your credit card being hacked. Look out about your Twitter account being hacked. I mean, so if these kind of things are happening, then it's conceivable that it can happen in the context of elections and all of the electronic aspects of it. So while Trump and sort of the right-wing media have certainly amplified those concerns, I think there was an underlying uneasiness or uncertainty leading into 2020.
Coming up next, part two of my special extended conversation with Jennifer Roberts and Bob Orr. Stay with us.
Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. In part one of my special extended conversation with former Charlotte Mayor Jennifer Roberts and former State Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr, I learned about the new organization they've co-founded to combat lies, myths, and misconceptions about elections in our state. It's called the North Carolina Network for Fair, Safe, and Secure Elections. In part two, we dug into some of the reasons behind the unease that many people have come to feel about our elections and how the group is working to address them, including a series of public events it's hosting in all of the state's congressional districts that will feature both conservative and progressive speakers and detail the many lawful and effective ways that exist for candidates and advocacy groups to monitor elections and verify the results.
So talk to us about the program. There are lots more to come in congressional districts across the state. For those who might want to attend a program, what will it be like? Jennifer, what's the plan?
Sure. Well, we're trying to keep them to 90 minutes, and they're in the evening. Like you said, in each congressional district, we're having one. We'd love to be in all 100 counties, but we don't have time or resources for that. But really, people are going to hear from election officials. They'll hear from people who are directors of county elections, and also people on the board will have a Republican and a Democrat because our boards are bipartisan. And we'll also have a couple of attorneys, one leaning right and one leaning left, to talk about what are the remedies through a legal process. You know, what role can the courts play when there are concerns about fraud or about, you know, any kind of disruption in an election? And the idea is, and we'll have a cybersecurity expert as well. So the idea is to, as you said, look behind the curtain, what really happens to your ballot? What are the safeguards and controls that are in place and have been in place? And so you talk about electronic voting, there is a paper backup. Some counties are still just using paper, but the ones that have backup, so you can count and recount. And if you talk to officials, when there have been recounts that have been asked for, no one I could talk to has remembered when it ever changed the result. Yeah. So, you know, those are the kind of things we want people to hear, the stories about the preparation that is there and the serious nature, both the paid staff members and the volunteers and the board members. They take this very seriously. This is democracy, and we've got to make sure it's accurate and make sure it's safe.
I would also add, Rob, that we want to make sure that people understand there's a difference between policy decisions and legal questions. You know, when I started voting, we didn't have early voting. You know, now we do. How many days of early voting, where early voting is, those are policy decisions. How you check in when you go to vote. When's the deadline for absentee ballots? You know, those are policy questions. If there's something where you think there is a law being broken or a regulation being violated, you know, we want our lawyers to be able to say there's a process for this going into the election, on election day, post-election. You know, the law has been written and it's there, and you don't go get a mob up and some guns, you go hire a lawyer, you know, or you get a lawyer, or the parties get a lawyer. Right. And each party is putting together huge teams of lawyers. So in addition to the education, we want folks to know that, all right, even if there is a problem or you think there's a problem, there's a peaceful legal route to address that problem, and that you don't need to revert to some sort of violence or intimidation.
We keep hearing these examples where sort of self-appointed election experts are demanding access to machines, and you know, they want to look behind the curtains themselves or even get involved in really sort of micromanaging the election process while it's going on. I guess it's your hope that this tour and this organization y'all have gotten going will maybe push back against that and ameliorate some of the demands in that regard.
Yeah. And, you know, if there's anything we want people to come away with this, it is that we want our election workers, our poll workers to feel safe. So, yes, they're going to be observers on both sides. And we are trying to reinforce the idea you need to be civil. Let the election workers do their work. You can observe certain things. I remember in 2020 watching, you know, when things got tallied and all brought into Raleigh, it was on video stream. It was really boring. It was really boring because people are just standing there, you know, moving boxes around. But they are trying to be transparent, but we want them to be safe. As Bob said, there's no need to pound on the glass as it happened in some states and scream and yell, because we are a nation of laws and we have legal processes. You may not agree with the policy decisions about voter ID or other things, but the people who are working on the elections are following the current laws as they exist. Let them do their work. Let them be safe. And let's, you know, be patient as those results come in.
Bob, have you received any sort of pushback from folks on the right who, you know, who just can't believe that this is the case? Or do you feel like maybe those characters are pretty few and far between it?
Well, interestingly enough, in reaching out to Republicans to participate in these events, it's really been fairly positive. I mean, we've had a few that I think said, "Ooh, well, I just don't want to get into anything that has to do with 2020 or the big lie or any of that kind of stuff." But I mean, Phil Strack, you know, Phil's going to be one of the lawyers. He's this rock hard Republican as you know, you're going to find, and has done a lot of litigating on behalf of Republicans. And so we're hoping that our bipartisan effort will engender even more confidence among particularly the Republican side, like Mitch Kokai is doing he's moderator for two of our events. So there really has not been any hard pushback. We feel really blessed in that context.
That was Bob Orr, who's a former Republican state Supreme Court justice, also talking to Jennifer Roberts, former Democratic mayor from Charlotte, about their organization, the North Carolina Network for Fair, Safe, and Secure Elections. Jennifer, have you heard of people who might have just, not just election officials, but maybe even potential candidates who are impacted by this sort of turn our electoral debates have taken in the United States in recent months and years? I wonder if it's even discouraging people from seeking office because of all these conspiracy theories and threats that are being made against public officials.
Well, there's no doubt that the polarization and the extremism that we're seeing has dissuaded some people from running for office. I mean, we've had threats, you know, not even election workers, but against healthcare workers and school board members and, you know, folks who have never been in the limelight before, all of a sudden being targeted for, you know, what I think is no good reason. But the lack of, trusted news sources, the proliferation of media conspiracy, you know, social media, the ease of sharing that, the distrust of government in general. There's just the atmosphere right now is very heated. We're trying to lower the temperature on that. And to remember, you know, Republicans and Democrats can talk together. There are other organizations working on this. Braver Angels is one. You know, try to recognize we are in this together. Democracy supports our policies no matter who we are, because that's how the voice of the people is heard. It's the best way to govern. Better than autocracy, better than dictatorship. We've got to support what we have now. And I hope that as we kind of lower the temperature, we do get good people who do want to serve in public office, because it can be very difficult. And there are a lot of threats out there. And we want people to respect our democracy. Remember that that civil social contract we have with each other to agree to disagree, vote the way you want to vote, and accept the results.
And Bob, I gather this is not a one and done deal. The Carter Center wants to continue working in this area even after the midterm elections.
Yeah, I think the 2024 presidential election looms on the on the horizon. You know, it's hanging over everybody's head. You know, what's going to happen then? What they learn in these four states will hopefully be carried forward into a number of other critical states. What programs have worked? What outreach efforts have made headway? So I think they see it as a long-term investment in American democracy. And I found a great quote by President Jimmy Carter, and I can't give it to you exactly, but essentially what he said was, if we're expecting and hoping to spread democracy around the world, we have to show people around the world that our democracy is something to be emulated. And, you know, democracy is dependent on fair, safe, and secure elections and, you know, the peaceful transfer of power. And so I think there's a real need, not only internally, but from the Carter Center's perspective, worldwide, for American democracy to get its act together.
And so, Jennifer, this will be going on for the next few weeks around the state, right? People can find out about it at your website?
Sure. It's an easy one. It's www.nctrustedelections.com. So it is the Trusted Elections Tour, and we'll be going around the state until I think our last one is October the 6th.
And I presume you'll be able to tell if this is a success. Any concrete measurements there? You just sort of, you'll just sort of be watching closely to see what happens, I presume.
Well, we've been keeping careful track of how we're building our network, of the events we're having, of how the media is carrying the story. We're keeping track of everything, and we'll have a big report that comes out, you know, with the Carter Center in probably December, where we look at, you know, what really worked, what could have been done better, and we'll continue to build on that for 2024.
And we're certainly hoping that the news coverage of the tour will be positive and there won't be any negative events generating greater news coverage.
Goodness.
So we've got our fingers crossed in that regard.
We will too. And I hope very much that y'all will come back and discuss it after the report comes out. We see how things went. Maybe you can be back on with us on News and Views at the end of the year and hopefully discuss all the successes that have resulted from these efforts.
Great. Thanks, Rob, for having us.
I hope we can do that too. Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Bob Orr is a former Republican state Supreme Court Justice, Jennifer Roberts, the former Democratic mayor of Charlotte, and you can check out their incredibly important work at nctrustedelections.com. Thank you all very much.
Thanks much.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.